Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sulzer's Q1 2022 Order Intake Conference Call and Live Webcast. I am Sandra, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Christoph Ladner, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Sandra. Good morning and welcome to Sulzer's Q1 conference call. Today with me is our CEO, Frédéric Lalanne, and our CFO, Jill Lee. For this call, we have prepared a presentation which you can find on our homepage. As always, I want to draw your attention on the disclaimer on slide number two. Please read it carefully. Having said that, I hand now over to Frédéric for the presentation. Thereafter, you have the opportunity to ask questions. Frédéric, please.
Thanks, Christoph. Good morning, everyone, and thanks a lot for joining this morning call. Despite the challenging environment that we all know, we can say that Sulzer had a very good quarter one, with orders rising 14% organically year-on-year. All our three divisions, Flow Equipment, Service, and Chemtech, and all the business units contributed to this growth during the quarter. The rebound in the energy market helped us, but we also grew strongly in all other key segments such as water, chemicals, pulp and paper, mining, and fertilizers. Prices for raw materials are still increasing or remain on a high level. Remember that Sulzer is a tender-based business, which mean that for every tender, we are able to adapt and adjust our costs, both for raw material or for labor. Other action that we took to protect ourselves is to shorten the validity of the tender periods from previously three to four months, now back to one month, and in line with what our suppliers are doing. We try in that to protect ourselves during this offer period. For standard products, as previously communicated, we have adjusted our prices twice last year and once again early during this quarter. Overall, we do see this supply challenge going on during the rest of the year. Reliability of logistics is not that great, as you know. What's very important to note, I already explained, that we are not dependent at Sulzer from a global supply chain from Asia. Most of our business is local for local or regional for regional. Just highlighted the fact in China, our activities are between 80%-85% for the domestic market, and only a few parts is exported and mainly in Southeast Asia. Our sales in Russia were around 86 million in 2021, about 2.7% of our sales. During the quarter, we are delivering our backlog to Russia according to the policy which has been imposed by EU, U.K., Switzerland, and U.S., of course. We are strictly following the rules also on the customers, and as a consequence, our orders for the quarter in Russia are down by 80% compared to what they used to be a year ago. We keep on focusing today on essential services, Russia for Russia, mainly in the water and the power infrastructure. Again, I repeat, within the strict respect of all the sanctions which have been imposed by the countries or government I just mentioned. Highly manageable from Sulzer perspective. From a regional perspective, we have seen Europe, Middle East, and Africa growing at 7%, driven by large contracts signed in Africa and Middle East. Europe has been down with the impact of the Russia on our European activities. Americas has been up by 40%, thanks to large projects we have signed in U.S., in the chemical segment, and in Brazil. Asia Pacific has been flat on an already high base in Q1 last year. Overall, I'm happy to announce that Thomas Zickler will take over as CFO on 1st of May. Jill, who is next to me, will still support us for the H1 result, and then will head back to Singapore after having spent, sorry, 11 years at Sulzer, both in a board position and later as the CFO of the group. Once again, a great and warm congratulations to all you have done, Jill, for us here. On this slide, I will give you some more details about our orders. Flow Equipment, so the former pump division, was up by 15% compared to last year. Water continued to develop very strong according to our strategic plan and is about 10% organic. Here we are clearly successful in positioning ourselves as a solution provider, mainly thanks to the acquisition of Nordic Water, rather than just a product supplier to this segment. In Industry, we are growing by 22% versus last year, and we won orders in our target markets like pulp and paper, but also a strong activity in the mining and the fertilizer business. Energy within the pump or Flow Equipment is also recovering and is up by 13% versus last year. We have seen an increasing tendering activities in the previous quarters, Q3 and Q4 2021, and we now see the first impact of this increased activity. It is very clear that with price of oil above $100 per barrel, this will lead to further projects to be developed. We are at the end of the chain at Sulzer. It will take time, but we do see many projects now being under development, and especially from the national oil companies such as Petrobras, Saudi Aramco, Qatargas, or the equivalent. This will create some opportunities for us in the coming quarters and for sure in 2023. In the service activity, we had experienced some good growth in Americas and Asia Pacific, while Europe is a bit flattish due to the decline of our activities in Russia, as I just explained before. The positive news is that in Asia Pacific, many countries have lifted their COVID restriction and then making our other sites easier to access again. We have seen also, on the contrary, some push out of scheduled maintenance due to high oil prices, and the customer instead of maintaining their assets, prefer to harvest as much as possible to benefit from an oil barrel above $100. In Chemtech, we were successful in U.S. to win a major project in the chemical industry, more than $25 million. Tower Field Services was up, especially compared to 2021, which was in the middle of the pandemic, and Tower Field Services is mainly linked with people activity, field service, and with the reopening of the site, we are quite positive on the rebound of this activity. Overall, China remains at a very solid high level. Forex impact, -4 million compared to last year, and M&A have contributed by an increase of 7 million, mainly thanks to the Nordic Water acquisition that we closed in February last year. Guidance. I confirm, or we confirm, our guidance that we gave in February, as shown on this slide. We expect continued growth in our markets, but we are also aware about the uncertainties linked to the pandemic, the Russian war, and the bottlenecks in supply and logistic environment. The volatility is going to increase, and this might have some impact on us. Overall, with the excellent backlog that we have, more than 1.9 billion of orders to be delivered in 2022 and 2023, plus the great success we have had in Q1 and also the positive trend we are seeing now in Q2, I am happy to say that we confirm our guidance that we gave earlier. In Flow Equipment, as explained, we see continuous growth in water and industry because the fundamental drivers are there: access to water, refurbishing of infrastructure, electric mobility creating needs in mining equipment, and we will benefit from energy rebounds. In service, the growth will be supported by the end of the site access restriction, and we expect a demand to go up like we have experienced in Q1, mainly in Asia and in Americas. And in Chemtech, China is and remains robust at a high level, and we have some good expectations in other regions, especially in the Middle East and U.S. I explained before as well, renewable represents a full or great potential for growth, and this will materialize mainly in the area of bioplastics or biopolymers this year, and we will see further development during the course of this year. So overall, we expect our orders to grow 3-5% this year. For the sales, we expect Flow Equipment to be flat this year compared to last year. We explained that 2021 we saw a low level of activity in the energy market, and which is now translated in low level of sales, while we expect service and Chemtech to grow again. The energy or the growth in energy will resume in 2023 on a rebounding 2022 market, and for sure what we do see now in terms of tendering. Overall, we do see and we confirm sales up 2-4% for the year 2022. And despite the cost increase for the raw materials, but also the labor, we expect our operational profitability to continue to go up in all three divisions, resulting in an operational profit margin close to 10%, being at 9.3% in 2021, and we expect to be in the range 9.5-10% for the year. So that's the end of my presentation. So I give the microphone back to Christophe or the operator for the Q&A session. Thanks a lot for your attention.
The first question comes from Arben Hazanayi from Fontobel. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I would have three questions, if I may. The first one would be in your services business. So it seems that relating to retrofits, it seems to be still difficult. In that area, can you maybe provide an outlook, especially also with the renewed lockdowns in China that we are seeing? That would be the first one. The second one would be, are you seeing any signs that customers are postponing projects due to increasing prices? I mean, your order intake was very good, but are there any signs that customers are getting uneasy on that side? And the final question would be on margins. So maybe you can provide some color where you are standing there. Is that also kind of running above your expectations, or where do you stand in terms of margins? Thank you.
Okay. So thanks a lot for your question. Regarding the service activity, the retrofit is a key part of our activity. And you know that retrofitting a pump is either from our install base or also from the competitor. And in fact, the retrofit, like some repair, you have to be at the right point in time to do that. And the retrofit is mainly driven by the customer and not by us. So for us, what's very important is to be able to be present and to understand when it is the right timing for retrofitting some pumps. And as I said before, and it's a little bit answering your question, what we are seeing now, we see that in many regions, including North America, but also the Middle East, people are postponing some maintenance because they really want to harvest their assets. And then, of course, when something happens, it is more reparation rather than scheduling or retrofitting, which has the priority, because we do see this trend, and especially in North America. The second point, renew lockdown in China, it has more an impact on the manufacturing, where the supply chain can be disrupted, rather than on the service activity. What was very important for us is in Southeast Asia, because we are very well positioned in Indonesia, as an example, but Indonesia has lifted all the restrictions on site access, and we are seeing now a good rebound of activity in Southeast Asia. So overall, I'm not so worried because of the lockdown in China. It has more impact on the supply chain and the reliability of the supply chain rather than on the service part. Your second question regarding customer postponing projects, it is true. I just explained a little bit in service in Americas. Overall, worldwide, we do not see too many postponing of projects. I do see, in fact, more projects coming online, especially in the energy sector, but also in the mining segment. And we are seeing now, also linked to the Russian crisis, many more projects coming live in South America, and where you have all type of mine minerals, of course. But we also do see an increase of activity in the fertilizer business, because Russia used to be a very strong country for fertilizer. And now this is an opportunity for countries in the Middle East and in Morocco to push the large project in the fertilizer as well. So for our positioning, mining and metal, if I look at the pure economical perspective, this is creating some opportunities in the rest of the world in this field of mining and fertilizer. So I do not see that many projects being postponed, on the contrary. And regarding the margin, it is true that we have seen a massive inflation on the cost of the raw materials, nickel, you have seen that, copper as well, steel, iron, labor increase as well. But we have been able so far to protect our margin. The margin on order intake we have during this quarter is consistent with what we have had in the past. This shows the capability of the teams, in fact, to protect the margin. And what we have now during execution at Sulzer, once you have the orders, the execution in terms of margin on execution is absolutely close to margin as booked, so and no deviation. So on that, that's also why, as of today, with the visibility we have with our backlog, which is above 1.9 billion, plus the order and the offering we are doing, we are okay to confirm that the margin are, of course, under stress because you have also the competitive environment, but we do not see any degradation, and we are in line with our expectations on margin.
All right, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Patrick Rafaisz from UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Also, three questions from me, please. The first is on the large chemicals order in Chemtech. Should we anticipate further or orders in this magnitude in the next one or two quarters? Do you have any view on that? And then related to that, but on the group level, with that dynamic start you had in Q1, and obviously comparables are also pretty easy from last year, but you just confirmed your guidance for the 3-5%, which implies sort of a flattish order intake for the remaining three quarters. And I'm trying to understand, are you just trying to be very conservative here, given all the various uncertainties out there, or are there reasons why the order momentum should maybe stabilize at prior levels going forward? And third question, on your renewables business, bioplastics, etc. in Chemtech. Greg used to give us sort of an expectation for where revenues could go to in the current year. Would you venture a similar statement for your renewables business this year? Thanks.
Okay, so difficult exercise. So I will start with your first question. It's easier to answer. On the first one, the large chemical orders have always been part of the activity of Chemtech. Of course, these projects are not coming every quarter, and the maturation time, like also in the energy for flow, it can take several months, in fact, or sometimes years. So we booked one very large order in Q1 in a very large complex in the Houston area, so which is a chemical activity for Chemtech. The span of delivery will be mainly second part of 2022 and 2023. And of course, we expect to have and duplicate this type of orders worldwide, but not of this magnitude. So it's clear that, yes, it's part of our activity, but in general, to be honest with you, I prefer to have five orders at 5 million rather than one order at 25. Because we all know that one order at 25 million attracts a lot of visibility, a lot of competition, and five orders, it's also you manage the risk. So my policy and the policy of Chemtech is not to hunt the large elephant, but maybe to target the mid-size projects, which are also easy to manage. So yes, we will expect more orders to come in 2022, but not of this magnitude. Then after you had the statement that it seemed pretty easy versus last year, nothing is easy at present time, believe me. We have, of course, a comparison base versus Q1 last year that helped us, because Q1 in 2021 was very low. And we have seen quite a nice rebound quarter by quarter, especially in Q3 and Q4. So that's why we gave, and I give between brackets, not a conservative guidance, 3 to 5%, but something that takes into account the fact that, as I explained, Russia, which was about 80 million last year or 85 million, now we are at minus 80%, and we do not expect any new business in Russia, especially in view of the recent development. This means that we will have to compensate somewhere else. And that's why also I'm quite conservative on this guidance. And the last question on the renewable and bioplastics. Last year at Chemtech, we have achieved 14% within Chemtech of these activities with a stamp or a label renewable. The perspective we can give that we aim to be around 20% in 2023 within the Chemtech activity. It's a growing area. We don't know how quick these activities will develop, how quick the PLA activity and the bioplastic market will scale up. What you know that there are three major PLA plants under construction in the world at present time, two in Asia, one in US, and all three are using Sulzer technology. So how quick we go for further expansion in this business, I don't know. But overall, for us, the target within Chemtech that the renewable activity should be around 20% in 2023.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Christian Obst from Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. So most questions are already answered. Just two there. Have you seen some major change of customer behavior after the start of the war on 24th of February? So you mentioned already that there is an increasing demand coming from the fertilizer and mining industry. So have you seen already a major push there? So really some kind of a change. And the second one is the current deliveries you have to take to Russia coming from the order intake last year. Are you still delivering into Russia from these orders? Thank you.
Okay. So change after the war, of course, it's a change for all of us. our customers, our suppliers, all the citizens in Europe and in the rest of the world. And this, of course, has an impact on the behavior of most of the companies. But what I have seen is the topic which was high on the agenda, like energy transition a few months ago. Today, the topic is more energy security and energy sovereignty. And this, of course, will lead to massive consequences for overall big energy companies active in oil, in gas, but also in power generation. And this, of course, is creating plenty of discussions, not only in Europe, but in the rest of the world. And I think, in my view, I'm not talking about mining, I just but the biggest change I see, at least for this year and maybe for the years to come, is that energy security and sovereignty will be higher on the agenda than the energy transition. As a citizen, we like it or we don't like it, but it's a fact. And for us at Sulzer, we are ready. And if there are any opportunities or some rebound expected in the market, we will, of course, take this opportunity. But at the same time, energy transition, mid-term and long-term, is the key trend and the key strategy for the positioning of Sulzer. So it's not because we will have more orders in oil or power generation that we forget our main goal of Sulzer, which is the positioning of this company for the portfolio of technology for the energy transition and for the water segment and the critical industrial applications. The your second question, delivery to Russia, we have two activities in Russia. So we were delivering some products and projects for the overall industry, and we have some service activity. So within the boundaries which have been given to us by Switzerland, by EU, and by US, we are delivering our backlog. We are sure also that we can transport at the and of course that we are paid. And regarding the new orders, as I explained, we are minus 80% compared to last year. And to be honest, I do not expect a lot of new orders to come, except some few service activity, which are done local by the local teams. But the cross-border activity, once the backlog is delivered, which is coming soon for sure in this quarter, then the remaining activity will be only local for local and mainly around services. But this can change, because if whatever evolution in the policy will take place, of course, we'll follow strictly. And you all know that we expect some EU decision in the coming days or hours, and then we will of course strictly follow the rules imposed by EU, or the new rules.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Alessandro Foletti from Octavian. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking my questions. I would like to ask you a couple related to some two or three precise segments. Starting with pulp and paper, you mentioned that there was a strong rebound. Can you maybe mention what drives that, what are the fundamentals behind that, and what kind of outlook you have there? Second question on water. Now, I understand 10% growth is a good growth, but in a way, I wonder if it was not sort of a little bit soft, considering that pricing power is very strong everywhere in every industry, and in water you have many standard products where you mentioned you had two rounds of price increase. So I wonder if maybe you can explain me why 10% is not disappointing. And then the last question power generation from coal. Are you positioned there? And understand what you said about being citizen of this world. I am a citizen as well. I have children as well. But I wonder if this is an opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. On pulp and paper, in fact, we develop the business on two axes, which is on the spare parts activity. and a few projects in America, then especially in South America. So the growth in pulp and paper is for this quarter is driven by a project in South America and with good activity on the parts business. Overall, I think the pulp and paper market is okay. And but with a shift more to packaging, so cardboard, as we say in French, carton, more than the paper for printing, can be the press or whatever. So we do see also a shift in these activities, pulp and paper, which is drive new capex or adaptation of the factories to more cardboard run paper. And we also see a trend for more bio application in the pulp and paper, in the pulp and paper industry, and is what is driving the market. So overall, we are the world leader for pumping solution, and also not only pumps but also agitators, because people don't have to forget that in a pulp and paper you are pumping fluid, but you are also mixing and agitating a kind of soup full of fibers, and it's also a very strong activity for Sulzer. When you talk about 10% is not good enough in water, so I would have signed with my two hands with that a few weeks ago. And if I can have another 10% growth in quarter two, I would be very happy. Here in water, of course, we try to pass the cost increase, but most of our customers, and you have to understand that, are municipalities. And with their budget today, with this inflation, sometimes they are, to the answer the question of one your predecessor, we see some municipality hesitating, because with the cost increase they have seen in the water segment last year, but also this year, not only from us but for the overall industry. So a small municipality, sometimes they hesitate when they have to replace some of the equipment. So that's why I consider that 10% is a very good activity. And what is good for us that is not only in the wastewater, but we have also won some project in desalination in the Middle East, and we are now more and more pushing for clean water. So in fact, we are growing our portfolio, and this growth in water is in all segments everywhere. So which is a very good sign. It's not because of one project that we won somewhere, but it's more completely scattered, and in the sense it makes this growth more solid and sustainable. So for me, this 10% is a good figure. And to your last question on coal, it's clear that today the only new investment in coal are in China. In China, in 2021, they have launched the equivalent of 33 gigawatts of new coal plants. So for the people who know, it's more or less half the capacity of what is installed in France. So they have just done that in China last year in coal. So coal represents 70% of the electricity generation in China, 60% in India. We are present more in the servicing of the installed base rather than the new equipment. So the new equipment today for coal is only in India and in China. India very limited, and the last market which is building new plants is in China, and they have sufficient companies active in this field. So for us, it's a very marginal activity. That's why we never report, because it's a very, very small activity. And I do not see a revival of coal anywhere in the world except China, who has his own policy.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Dominik Feldges from NZZ. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I was wondering about these EU sanctions, which might come really in any minute. I mean, do you think, I mean, that they might make it completely impossible, you know, for you to do any business, I mean, even services business in Russia? I mean, Was that your point before? And another question would regard just, I mean, obviously anything, you know, with a Russian angle or is being considered, you know, as difficult these times, not to be touched upon, you know. I mean, do you face maybe now in growing difficulties in attracting talent, you know? I mean, because I mean of your your Russian main shareholder there. I mean, is this a problem for you, or might this become a problem as Russia really gets even more marginalized? And last question, really, about the board. Can you give us maybe any explanations for these two changes, which came a bit unexpected there? And I mean, will the board then just remain as it is? I mean, with just six members rather than eight members, what's the planning there? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dominique. To your first question on EU sanctions, I'm not speculating at all on the sanctions to come from EU. I read the press. I read the press this morning that they were talking about a ban on the import of coal. It seems that coal represents 4 billion euros of revenues for Russia, mainly meant for Germany. That, of course, has no impact for us, so I'm not speculating on that. But to be clear and very, very, very clear to all of you, if EU says that you are not allowed to do business anymore in Russia, if in the water segment or in the energy, and of course, immediately we will strictly follow the rules. But as of today, I do not have any indication that it would be the case. But if it is, of course, we will stop immediately, and we will adapt ourselves to that. Your second question about growing difficulties in attracting talent, it's clear that I had some interviews myself recently. There are some questions, but Sulzer is seen as a Swiss mid-sized company being global. And so far, I do not have any issues in attracting talent. Recently, we have just onboarded a few commercial and experienced commercial managers, financial people as well, joining from some renowned Swiss company here to join Sulzer soon. So we do not have a problem in attracting talent. We have more questions, it's clear. But once they listen to our explanations, they are convinced and they join Sulzer. So far, not a problem. Regarding your last question about the unexpected changes in the board that took place very recently, on this one, I cannot comment. The AGM will take place today at 10 o'clock. And the decision from these two people to step down or not to go for election is some personal decision. I have no view, and I cannot comment on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I think there are no more questions. Maybe some last words from Frederick, and to close the call.
So, thanks a lot for your question. As I just explained, we have had quite a good order momentum in Q1. But as I confirm our guidance before, but as someone say, it's quite easy, at least to compare versus Q1 2021, but this year is all my 30 years of my career, international career, I think it's one of the most difficult and for sure the most challenging we see, not only because of the inflation or because of the logistic challenge, but because we are entering time that we've unknown. And what is true today might not be true tomorrow, and maybe not wrong, but not true anymore. And for every organization, can be mid-sized or very large corporation, we will have to adapt to this highly volatile market. And for me, the companies that will succeed are the ones which are agile, bold, and having a very large footprint, not relying on a segment, but being able to manage our business with a global perspective. And a lot of risks, of course, But at the same time, as I explained, many opportunities for us. Energy security, energy sovereignty is high on the agenda and might represent or will represent some opportunities for us. And at the same time, we clearly continuing our strategy to develop our water and industrial business in the flow equipment and the renewable for Chemtech. Any opportunities, of course, that might come in the energy sector for service activity, for flow and for Chemtech, we'll take them. But today, we try to stick, we said about the positioning mid-term, long-term of Sulzer, but every opportunity in the energy sector, of course, we'll take them. So once again, thanks a lot for your interest. Thanks a lot for your questions, always very sharp, and also for your support. So have a great day, and happy to interact with you in the future again. Thank you.